This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA with Anush. Today I have a very exciting topic to discuss. Lots of interesting conversations. I'm sure you have had those questions. Today's conversation is going to be around wine. I have a very special guest all the way from New York. He is a sommelier and wine educator. He's also a judge at different competitions, which is so exciting. I have so many questions. We have Vitaly Daskaluk today. Hi, Vitaly. How are you?
Hi, Anush. Doing well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time and joining our conversation. I have so many questions. Well, I was going to ask you about your background, but because I already mentioned about the wine competition, why don't you tell us how does this happen? You know, because I have a lot of people asking me, you know, what are these scores on the wines? What is the, who gives the reviews, etc. So walk us through the process.
So I judge for a couple of different wine competitions. One of them, probably one of my favorite, is a New York wine competition called the New York Classic, in which all the wines tasted are New York wines from New York State, where I'm based. So the way that it works, you have a multiple tables with 3 to 4 judges per table with different backgrounds. So you have a winemaker and a wine journalist, a sommelier, people working in retail, kind of just like a different background at the same table, but all wine professionals with good palates and knowledge, and people that usually have buying power, meaning that they are behind the choices that are made when someone selects, you know, the wines that will be featured in a wine shop or in a wine list in a restaurant or a wine bar. So the flights are being brought up. Usually there's a theme, either a grape or a style, so light reds, Gruner, Veltliner, Rieslings, whatever it is. And they are tasted blind. So let's say there's 5 wines that everyone tastes at the same time. And after they've been tasted, they are discussed. You kind of go around the table clockwise. And you vote. There's different ways of scoring wines. There's the 100-point system that's very popular. There's the medal system that is also probably as popular as well. So let's say that the medal system, you go around the table and you say what you think about the wine number one. Let's say I think it deserves a gold medal, which means I love it. Not only that I would buy it, but I would sell it. I would recommend it. Let's say someone else disagrees and wants to give it a silver medal, and let's say the third person wants to give it a gold as well, then we kind of vote, discuss, and we'll assign it a score or medal. And that's kind of what is done, and it's we taste a lot of wines. You go up to 100 wines per day, sometimes even more. It's really, really fun, really, really interesting. And the benefit of it is that it's done blind. You do know some information, the grape on the region. Sometimes you would know the price. It's, let's say, the wines are below $20 retail, which is mean. It's a wine of a great value. You would know that, have that information. But besides that, you don't really know. You don't have the label. You don't have the price point, the reputation of the producer, any other information. So the only criteria is the taste. It's what's in the glass. And it's fascinating to see how the discussion happens and how different people that are very knowledgeable would sometimes disagree or kind of look at things differently. And probably one of my favorite things to do is those tastings. That's one of them, the New York Classic, which happens once a year. Last couple of years were skipped because of the pandemic. But hopefully
have a
they will
quick
start.
Question, Vitaly. Sorry to interrupt. Before we move on to the next competition, is there a parameters that you start with when you're judging a wine? So, for example, is there a grid? Is there a certain points that the wine has to meet? You know, does it start at some point and then from there the scores go up, or the scores go down? Is there like, let's say for the white wine, it needs to have this, this, and this, it needs to meet this, this, and this, or is just completely subjective how you taste it and what you think about it?
Of course, subjectivity is a big part. You know, people have different preferences, sweetness, lightness, fruitiness, and all that. But objectivity, I think, is the most important thing. When judging those wines, you don't think of what you would like, but what your customers would enjoy. So, kind of looking from the point of view, let's say I'm not a big fan of, let's say Pinot Grigio, right? That it's very light and fresh and crisp, and sometimes not the most exciting wine out there. But let's say that there is a big demand for those kind of wines. And I'm judging the wine from the point of view, is this wine balanced? Is it a good value? Does it deliver what someone is looking for, rather than would I personally enjoy it? So simply kind of, you just analyze the wine, you look for balance, you look for intensity, complexity, the length of the finish, all things considered. And another big important thing is typicity. I would say how typical the representation of this region, this grape, this appellation is. That if it's a wine that is a Sauvignon Blanc that tastes like a Chardonnay, let's say, then that's not a typical kind of expression. That means it might mislead the customer that is looking for that style. So that's kind of, that plays a role too. We also kind of like to keep it kind of simple and be like, would you recommend this wine? There's like three levels of liking something. Would you drink it if it was free? Would you buy it?
That's funny.
Would you buy it? And the highest level of liking something is, would you sell it? Would you recommend? Would you put, I Vitali think that this is a great wine, I want you to have it, I want you to enjoy it, will I put it on my list with my name on it? That kind of the highest, that's the gold medal. That's like 90 points out of 100 and higher. Of course, the point system is not always perfect, because again, subjectivity is a big part of it. And sometimes the bigger wines, the higher in alcohol, the more extraction, the more kind of bombastic and international gets higher scores. But I think that there is it's highly valuable, those competitions, those tastings. For example, the New York wine that I've done, you know, every single year, it's amazing how much better the wines get, how, you know, the styles slightly change. You can kind of observe, you get like a screenshot of the wine world within a state, within a year. And I think that's beautiful.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you so much for explaining this very interesting topic. And like I said, people always ask, you know, how did the scores come? Who is tasting them? You know, why do we need to follow? And why do we need to take the advice? But just like as you mentioned, there's wine professionals, sommeliers, winemakers, wine buyers, wine writers. So those people who are around the wine, and they kind of know what they know, not kind of, but they know what they're talking about. So we can talk about the subject, but I think let's switch a little bit today. I'd like you to share what you do and what there's an exciting class, a bootcamp that you are going to host, or you have been hosting it for years. Tell us more about the restaurant and the wine program.
So, I mean, living and working in New York is, from the point of view of wine industry, is probably one of the most exciting markets, because there's just so many things to do wine-related. I have the pleasure to work at a wine bar called the Compagnie de Vins Surnaturels, which is a French wine bar, but with a good selection of wines from all around the world. And we do have this really fun educational program called the Wine Bootcamps. Pretty much they are wine tasting classes that are a bit shorter in style. We kind of have them to 1 hour of length. Four wines are featured, they're all done kind of in the wine bar, in the back room, the mirror room, as we call it. And, it's kind of allows us to, because they're shorter in length, and more approachable price-wise, it allows us to kind of focus on regions and places and topics that are much less discussed. Working as a sommelier, of course, I fell in love with French wine and Champagne and Burgundy and Bordeaux and all those well-known regions. I've been to California. I love selling those wines as well. But I think they're a handful of, in my opinion, some of the most exciting regions don't get as much attention, including, of course, Armenia, which is the topic of my next class on June 12th, the place that, you know, has been making wine for probably longer than any other place in the world, and where wine kind of comes from, the birthplace of fermented grape juice. I'm pleased to see that people enjoy those topics. I've done this particular class, this topic, for I think this is the 6th year, and actually during the pandemic when we had to kind of close our doors and we switched to a virtual format of the classes, the boot camps, in which we'd ship 3 bottles of wine nationally. The very first class that we had to cancel because of the pandemic, and we rescheduled it in a virtual format, was Wines of Armenia. And that was, 2 years ago. It was a different world, but it was amazing that we were able to get together. And I think the Wines of Armenia, we had about 30 something households, so about
Wow, I was
60
going to
people all
ask.
throughout the country were enjoying the same 3 wines
And
from Armenia.
were they Armenian, or how many Armenians did you have?
I mean, a big percentage was Armenian people from Armenian heritage.
Oh,
But also,
really?
just curious palates from, different levels. What I love about these classes, the boot camps that we do, is that you have a really, really good mix of wine industries, people actually that study for exams, or people that work in wine bars and wine shops, and people just that enjoy, different flavors, and they want to learn more, and they want to expand their palates and taste new things and support small producers. And that's an amazing thing. It's a good mix. I would say a third of the attendants that work in the wine industry, a third are just curious minds, curious palates, and another third are more serious wine enthusiasts.
So, how many people are anticipated to attend this class on the 12th? And do you have any open spots? And how many hours it is? And what can in-person class what can they expect from an in-person class?
Well, so the classes are 1 hour long. So we have two sessions, one at 6 p.m. and one at 7:30. The size is of 16 people plus, so it's a small size. It's kind of cozy in the back, and it's a small kind of casual format. We have four, so we're gonna feature, and we usually do a food pairing. We either gonna pair something from Armenia, we're gonna cook something special. Back in the day, I used to go to Brighton Beach and bring a Ringala of hats, which we would cut up and enjoy the wines, because it's beautiful too. Taste a local wine with a local cuisine. I also now like to feature different cuisines, different food from Armenia, kind of to showcase that wines from Armenia, Georgia, Greece, don't necessarily have to be paired with that cuisine, that they can pair with a lot of different flavors, different components as well. So 1 hour long, four wines, one food pairing. We kind of just go into the history, the background, the geography, terroir, and all those fun things. It's kind of casual. You learn a lot, but it's also kind of held in a conversation, format. So you can ask questions, you can discuss, you can taste, you can. It's fun and educative.
Yeah, that's
That's
the
my
best
favorite part
way
about.
to do it, to have them interactive so that people, can ask questions and give suggestions. And it's amazing that you are pairing it with food, and especially that it's non-Armenian food, because not everybody can cook up Armenian food or has the capability of going to the store or restaurant. Like in California, there's so many Armenian restaurants.
Question.
What I found is it's so exciting. One time, it was like at the very beginning, like 8, 9 years ago, we have discovered that rosé made from the Arenivirate pairs amazingly well with paella, with seafood
Oh,
paella.
yes, I can see that. I can see that.
It was
Yes, definitely.
perfect. Like, it had enough of the tannin. It had good body, but it was also light so that it wasn't overpowering the saffron and etc. So we were so excited. We're like, oh my gosh. And then we posted it on Facebook, and then we had
Nice.
mixed reactions. Some people were really mad at us because we paired an Armenian wine with non-Armenian. They're like,
What?
well, I know. There's people always, there's a reason for everyone to be, there's the reason for someone to be always unhappy. So, but then for the most of the people, they were like, wow, this is such a good idea, so that we can, really, Armenian wine doesn't have to go with the Armenian food. Of course, it's great together as well, but so for the tickets for the class, where and how they can find our listeners, if we have some listeners in New York, hopefully.
There's a website called TOCK.com, which we use to sell our tickets. TOCK.com, if you just look up wine bootcamp, it's right there. Yeah, the ticket's $35. And again, it's for wine, it's 1 hour. And before I forget, I just really want to quickly mention one of my favorite pairings, Armenian pairings, is I had the orange wine from Trinity the Cellars, the Boskehat. I'm not sure if you've had it before, but that with Gapama, the baked pumpkin stuffed with rice. That's I used to cook it all the time because it's really, really fun to make. And those two things together are just one of my favorite pairing ever. It has that juiciness, that fruitiness from the orange wine, and kind of that earthiness from the pumpkin and the rice and the meat and the raisins and all that just come together. It's a beautiful pairing. I think everyone should try to make that recipe.
That
It's
sounds
surprisingly easy.
delicious.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
delicious. I have not tried it together. I have tried them separately, but now I have to. And actually, the rosé that I was talking about that we paired with the paella was also by Trinity. What a coincidence.
Oh
So
yeah,
funny.
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only had the orange, the Boskehat, but I really want to try their other ones. Yeah.
How did you get into wine?
Oh yeah, yes, of course. I mean, I was born and raised in Moldova in Eastern Europe, and as you know, it's a place that also makes a lot of wine, and wine kind of runs to our veins. I grew up, kind of making wine, picking grapes when I was 6 years old. And when I came to the United States in 2009, I was working in restaurants as a server. And I was, yes, of course, I know wine. It's like I've made wine. Well, ask him, but it turns out I didn't really know anything because it's different to make house wine with your grandparents and to sell, wine in New York City. So I bought a book. It was a wine book that was, kind of I started reading it and buying wines that I read about and cooking food and slowly kind of snowballed from a hobby to an obsession. And for my first sommelier exam, which I took in 2013, I believe, and then another one. I passed my WCT advanced level, the certified sommelier exam, the certified specialist of wine. I kind of passed them all in 1 year, and that was I don't know, 8 years ago, I guess. And since then, I've been doing a lot of wine things, wine related stuff. It's fascinating. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it has changed, but it also hasn't. And it's amazing that we can tell the stories and represent those grapes and people that make them.
Absolutely. The wine subject, it's such a lengthy and something that you can learn till the end of, we can learn till the end of our lives. There's so much to learn. I would love to invite you to Armenia to come and visit it. So we need to figure out how we're going to do that so you can come and experience
Absolutely.
the country in person. And for our listeners, one more time, the website where they can get the information on the wine classes and they can attend, or if they have some friends who live in New York, if they want to give them gifts, so they should take advantage of this and give them a gift of education.
TOCK.com. Wine Bootcamp.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these commercials.